Thank God. Praise God. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad for the power of God that, you know, the Lord has perfect knowledge. But He chooses to forget. He chooses to forget. And there is nothing. I wish we could grasp that. Well, I was praying today and I was thinking about the service last night. And I want to tell you that there was a time when if you preached on hell, everybody there would be weeping. Everybody would be weeping. But even the Christians, you can't hardly get a tear out of a Christian when you're talking about a place so horrible that people are going and that people are there right now. And there's no hope for them. There's no hope. I'm going to tell y'all, I have preached to many, many people through the years. Well, some time ago, in fact, I have a neighbor. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to get into the message. We have a neighbor that is the top hitch driver in North America. All of North America. He lives on the ranch right beside us. They raise Clydesdale horses. Budweiser pulls in there with their big old trucks and spends the night. Does whatever they do to horses anyway and stays 2 or 3 days and lots of work goes on down there, and I've made friends with that neighbor, and we try to plant a little old garden. Freddie said he's not even going to this year, but we've tried to, you know, and then we go off and leave it sometime. But anyway, he gives us all that stuff out of the horse barn that we want to put on our garden. And so I bake him pies. And he loves coconut pie and the other pies too. And so I've baked him many a pie. I have also baked his stepson. He's been in my home and I've baked him a pie before. Not, you know, one time took it up there to his house, knocked on his door and gave him a pie, gave him tracks, talked to him about his soul. He's, like I say, he's been in my home before. And, but a few months ago, we got a call at 9 o'clock in the morning. And, another neighbor said, "Fred, I wish you'd go down to Donnie and Vonda's house." Said their boy killed himself this morning. And I'm going to tell y'all, that went through me. 26 years old. Everything to live for. But he had planned to kill himself from a little boy. And his grandpa, on his daddy's side, had shot himself with a gun, and they had given him the gun, and he shot himself with the same gun after a night of drunken debauchery. Now, I want y'all to listen to me. Partied all night or till certain time of the night, and then didn't get his way about something, and some of them went on to Shawnee and partied some more, and then they came back by his house. And he was sitting in the truck, and they couldn't get his attention, and they're knocking on the door, and finally they got a flashlight and flashed it in there, and shone it in there, however you say it, and they wished they hadn't have. He had put that gun in his mouth and blowed his brains out. I'm telling y'all, he is in hell. He died drunk. He took his own life. And it was a while before I could sleep a night through thinking about that boy, that nice looking boy that was in the pits of hell and drink got him there. That's not the first one in our country. One of them was a former preacher's boy and he was drunk and shot himself, blowed his life right away. I'm telling you, folks, this is a horrible, horrible thing. But you cannot stir people today. You cannot hardly get them to listen to anything. I wish and I hope, I don't wish, I've prayed and prayed, and I hope that God will help us tonight.
Amen.
And that you somehow will see where you're at and where you're going.
Amen.
Chapter 50 of the book of Psalms. Chapter 51 of the book of Psalms. This is very, very familiar scripture. I've preached from these verses no telling how many times, but it was new to me today. Chapter 51 of the book of Psalms. Everyone that will stand for the reading of God's word. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you because you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you, Father, that you have given us a law of righteousness and a holiness. And we thank you for the knowledge that you have given us to perceive this. I'm asking, Lord, tonight that you would anoint these lips of clay, and that you would bless every heart here. Bless every ear to hear what the Spirit would say to each individual person. Anoint us for the glory of God, and we'll praise you, for you are abundantly worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. So glad to have everybody here tonight. It's good to see you. So good to see Brother Frank Rogers, and I'm looking for Rita, but I can't see her. Oh, she didn't come. Isn't that sad? Oh, I kept looking for Sister Rita. She's my dear friend. But we appreciate him being here, appreciate his great work for the Lord, and all that he does for the Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. I forget that, but it's not that I'm not thankful. It's I have a one-track mind, and it's right here. So anything and everything you do for us, we appreciate it so much. These are wonderful scriptures to me because they are scriptures of repentance from David. Now, there are Bible scholars that are divided about this chapter. Some of them say this is the chapter of his repentance after he had gone into Bathsheba. In fact, in my study Bible, the caption says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. So that is the most of the people's idea that this came from that. Spirit came from, and that's the only sin that we have recorded that would have cost David his soul. All sin will cost you your soul. All sin. Little, middle size, or big. Doesn't matter. It'll all cost you your soul. You cannot go to the judgment having told one lie and get through. It's impossible. So this is a close way. It's a close way. But David has been confronted for his sins. Hard to confront people now. Used to, I could talk to people. You know, when you're young, seem like you can get away with a whole lot of stuff more than when you get older. And I used to could talk to people about anything. And they would listen to me. But now, nobody listens. You know what the Bible said? That every man chooses his own way. You know, what did it say? I'm trying to get that verse in Isaiah 53. Every man has turned to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Now, in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel, the word of God said, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that is where we are living today. This church ought to be chocked full of people that have said no to this world and yes to Jesus Christ. It ought to be completely packed out. And if every backslider came back, it would be packed out. Amen. But David had been confronted for his sin. He knew he had done it, but he went right on. And that's what a lot of people do in their lives. They sin, they go right on like they hadn't done it. But he's confronted, and when he's confronted, he repents. And he repents in a wonderful way. I'm going to preach a little while tonight, if the Lord will help me, on let the Lord straighten you out.
That's real simple, isn't it?
I'm going to preach about three words: transgression, iniquity, and sin. And they are all mentioned in this chapter right off the bat. The first thing he says, he prays in three different ways. There's a lot of the Bible is in trinities. And he prays in three different ways. Number one, he says, have mercy upon me, O God. And let me tell you, if it was not for the mercy of God, where would you be? And where would I be if it were not for God's divine mercy? Oh, I hope I can preach. According to thy loving kindness, he mentions that. According to your loving kindness, y'all. Oh, what if God was like? What if God was? What if God did not love us? What if God? Because let me tell you, the devil don't. He hates you. He would kill you right now if God would take his hand off you. He would kill the saints to get them out of the way, to get them where they cannot be an influence for good ever again. He would kill every sinner right now so he would take them on to hell. But he does not have the power of death. Only God has the power of death. Oh, there's a lot of people that would be in hell tonight if it were not for the prayers of God's people. Amen. Our boy some time ago was working on their new home, and he was on the scaffold with his wife, and he's a backslider, and he was on the scaffold with his wife, and he was working on the chandelier in his foyer, and he thought he had the electricity off, but he didn't, and he got a hold of a live wire, and the Lord miraculously helped him to get loose. She was standing right beside him. It would have killed both of them in an instant. Now this boy, I could go down the line and tell you how many times the Lord has spared his life since he has been backslid. And when he told me about it, I said, Troy, the Lord spared you again. How many times? He said, Mom, that's exactly what I said to Marla. Well, duh! Get right with God! Dear Lord, have mercy. Do you think he's going to let you walk on in sin forever? My friend, some don't even have a second chance. I preach to people. Many people, I don't know how many people, it's their last chance. They never heard another message. So let me tell you, I take this serious. God help us. I take it serious. According to thy loving kindness, Lord, he said, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now let me tell you something about this chapter that David never mentions. He never mentions his sin. He never says, God, forgive me for adultery, because he was guilty of adultery. He never says that. He knew what the problem was. It's never what you think. It's something way deeper than that. So he said, Lord, he said, according to thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. The Hebrew word for transgression literally means, and I think I might have mentioned this here before, I don't know, but doesn't matter. The Hebrew word for transgression literally means rebellion. He said, Lord, what my trouble is, I know what it is. I have rebelled against you. Y'all, this Bible is the roadmap to heaven. I want to see the hands of everybody that believes that. Let me see your hand. This Bible is the roadmap to heaven. Well, some of you believe it and some of you don't, but listen, this is the only roadmap you got. This is it. It is a book of the law. Somebody said we don't have to keep the law. That's Old Testament. We don't have to pay attention to that, my friend. There are at least 5 laws mentioned in the Bible, and I may not even name them all right now, but there is God's law. There is the law of Jesus Christ. There is the law of ordinances. There is the law of the husband. And there's another law. There's the law of Moses, ceremonial law. So there's more than 5 probably. But this book is a book of laws. I just read today in Galatians where it said, walk according to this rule. If you will walk according to this rule. So somebody says, you people are just a church of rules and regulations. Well, no, folks. This is a book of rules. Did you know that? I was telling Jody right here. We had a wonderful prayer for Jody, and God did a wonderful thing for Jody yesterday. Was it yesterday? And he's just doing so good. The Lord's delivered him from cigarettes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But I was telling him, I said, Jody, listen. I was praying for a woman that had a massive heart attack. They told me she was brain dead. And y'all just bear with me, will you? She was brain dead. They called me and said, Betty's in the hospital and she's had a massive heart attack. She's brain dead. I went to see her. I've never seen a sight like it in my life. I've heard of it since, but I had never seen it or heard of it. I walked into that intensive care. They had her hooked up to life support. They said she's brain dead. She don't know anything. Her eyes were darting every direction. Her head wasn't moving, but her eyes was darting every direction. It was a horrible thing to see. I walked up beside her bed. I said, Betty, this is Shirley. This is Shirley, Betty. This was a lifelong friend. She had backslid, left God, probably 30 years before, maybe 35.
and picked up cigarettes and had no telling. She had a horrible habit of smoking, had smoked all those years. And now she's had a massive heart attack. And I said, Betty, this is Shirley. And I'm going to pray for you, Betty, right now. And I started praying. And as I prayed, in a little bit, I opened my eyes. And her eyes had settled down somewhat. And a tear trickled out of the side, out of her eye, and rolled down her face. And you know, they said that was just a reaction. She didn't really know anything. I don't believe it. But anyway, she was very, very bad. No hope of her to live. So the next day I was in my trailer praying in our RV, and I wanted to be alone where nobody would bother me. And I was praying for Betty, and I was seeking God with all I knew how to seek Him, begging Him for her life. And the Lord, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I'm not going to heal her because she destroyed herself, but I will save her. Now that's what I felt like the Lord spoke to me. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen, when the Bible says, whoso defileth this body, him will God destroy. That literally is translated from the same word, defile and destroy, is translated from the identical same word. So it could read like this, whoso destroyeth his body, him God will destroy. Now listen, when you take into your body that will destroy it, you are destroying yourself. You keep doing it, and God will destroy you. Did you know Pharaoh hardened his heart? But first, and then the Bible said, and God hardened his heart. Do you know you cannot come to church and hear the word of God and feel the Spirit of God, whether you feel it or not, and have an invitation to give your life totally to Jesus, and then walk out that door rejecting Him and be the same person? You'll never be the same person. He automatically hardens your heart because you have hardened it. Oh, I wish I could help you. God, help us. Transgression, Lord. He said, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He was saying, Lord, my problem is rebellion. I did this. Yes, I did that. But my problem is rebellion. That's why a lot of people are where they're at. There is a root in their heart of rebellion against God's laws. And they have hardened themselves against Him. So he prays against his rebellion. And then he says this, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Listen, transgressions and iniquity and sin are not synonyms that can freely be used. No, they mean three different things. Number one, transgressions in this place is rebellion. And iniquity is, I am twisted. I am warped. I am bent. On down in these verses, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That literally is just talking about you were born a sinner. You couldn't help it. Because Adam sinned, all his transgressions, all of his sin, the original sin we have in us, we are born with original sin. That's why when Sister Bobby was trying to control Blake back here on about the 1, 2, 3, 4 seat, he was kicking at her. I didn't know who he was for a little bit. But she had a little girl she was trying to set down. And I said to Chris, I said, well, whose children do they belong to? Forgive me. I said, whose are those children? Didn't see them real good. And they didn't say a word. But she was having trouble with them. They were born in sin. You don't have to teach a child to throw a fit. They automatically know how. And don't you wish there was a lot of grown-ups that had gotten over their fits? Oh, my Lord, have mercy. I told one of mine here a while back, I said, I wished I'd have beat the devil out of you. I wish that was possible, don't you? I prayed for your boy today, Jason. I had a burden for him today. And God help me pray for him. I'm sorry that his mother's not here tonight. But listen, God help us. Are y'all listening to me? Iniquity means we are twisted. We are warped. We cannot walk right because we're twisted. Amen. When our oldest grandson was born and we prayed for him, I prayed many a prayer for him. God, touch him. Touch him in the womb. If there is anything wrong with him, Lord, heal him in the womb before he ever is born. And I believe the Lord did, but when he was born with windblown hands. His hands are crooked. They call them windblown. And usually when they have windblown hands, they have a windblown face. We went to church with a man for several years, Harold Johnson, that his face was here and not here. And he had club feet. And usually when they have windblown hands, they have a windblown face, they call it, and club feet. And as soon as that doctor saw his hands, he examined his feet. He looked at him. He's perfect in every way, but his hands. And I believe the Lord left them to let us know that the Lord had touched him in the womb. And I've told him all of his life, your hands are special. You know, they're special. He can do anything he wants to do. But he is twisted. And for him to excel and do what other people do easily, he has had to put a lot of work into it because his hands are twisted. He's had two operations on them, but they're still twisted. And so he's done very, very well. But he's done it. He's worked hard at it. Are y'all helping me? Because they are twisted. How many has a Tupperware bowl that you have put the lid in the dishwasher wrong, and when it came out, it was warped? Anybody ever done that? Have you tried to get that lid back on that bowl? You can do it once in a while. But I'm telling you what I do. I've worked with one of them here a while back and threw it in the trash. It was warped. Oh, God help us. Without God, we are warped. We are twisted and warped. We cannot walk right because we don't think right because our... Did you know Brother Bill Burkett? You knew Brother Bill Burkett. Brother Bill Burkett came to our church years ago and he said, all sinners are insane. And I took a deep breath and I thought, woo, that is strong. And then I got to thinking about it and reading, and they are. It's insane not to serve God with all of your heart. It's insanity to think you can make it and halfway have your heart in it. It's insane to think you can get away with everything. I told y'all about that humongous mega church in our area now. They have to have 3 or 4 services, and people flock there. Now they have that particular church, but they have windows that you can drive through on Sunday morning and pay your tithe and go on to the beach and guaranteed you'll make it. I'm telling you, you're going to split hell wide open. Dear Lord, have mercy. Iniquity means we are twisted. There is only one that can straighten us out. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Y'all, I have have known some people. My word, are y'all listening to me? I prayed with a murderer one night. A murderer. He knelt. He didn't even make it to the front. There was too many people anyway praying. He knelt between the stage and the front seat, and he knelt about halfway there, and people got around him. Somebody came over and got me and said, "This man's over here praying, and we can tell he don't really know how to pray." But and I'd reached for that man. I'd reached and reached for him. That night, I had no idea what all he was guilty of, but God knew it. I had a burn for that man. Never saw him before in my life. And he didn't come. As long as I was pleading and pleading and pleading, and people filled up the front, but he didn't come. And I finally just knelt down by the stage and told the Lord, "I've done everything I know to do." And I knelt down, and somebody came in and punched me on the shoulder and said, "Come here, there's a man over here praying." It was that man. When I knelt, he had come up the front and knelt. I guess nobody had ever prayed with him, maybe since he was a little boy. And he was kneeling down, and he had his hands just like this, just like you would if you were kneeling by a bed. And he was trying to pray, and he couldn't believe that God would forgive him. And we got around him, and we started trying to help him pray. But after a while, that floodgate broke open. Oh, if you know how to pray, you are so privileged. You are so blessed if you just know how to pray. But after a while, that God in heaven began to help that man pray. And when he did, a woman in that church, Sister Kitty, had invited him and the woman with him to the revival, and she was standing on one side of him praying, and he prayed and prayed. After a while, he opened his eyes with a look of surprise, and he looked around till he saw Kitty, and he said, "He did it! He did it! He forgave me! He did it! Oh, what a wonderful thing when the Lord takes his blood and blots all the sins you ever committed out of the books. Praise God when he writes your name in the Lamb's book of life, and no devil can take it out. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing to be washed in the blood." Oh, dear God. Listen. The Lord is withdrawing. Now, y'all, don't leave me. We've been preaching about a year of harvest. I could tell the whole thing again. And I believe the Lord has dealt with people across the country. I heard from Sister Ann Gabbard today more than once. And they're at Prim. They're closing tonight. But God has been dealing with people across the country about this year. We have been given a reprieve. We have been given a reprieve for people to have one more chance to get in. One more chance. But listen, I'm telling you, I started preaching 52 years. No, I started preaching a lot longer than that. But started evangelizing. It'll be 52 years ago in June or the last of May. And I'm telling you, God is withdrawing his spirit from the Gentiles. Are y'all hearing me? Now, he will never withdraw his spirit from his people. No, we belong to him. But it's not like preaching now is not like preaching 50 years ago to sinners. Preaching now is not like preaching 20 years ago to sinners. Preaching now is not like preaching 10 years ago or 5. God is going back to his own home country, the country he has chosen. I feel the power of God right now. We was in Egypt. We flew into Egypt. We boarded a bus after a few days in Egypt, and we headed across the desert. The route that Moses took to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. We took that by bus. I'm going to tell y'all something about Egypt. I've been there 2 or 3 times. And when you fly into that country, there is such a spirit of oppression. You can feel the spirit of the devil. It's a horrible feeling. It's heavy. The whole time you're there, it's a heavy feeling. Then when we got on that bus and started across the Suez Canal, wasn't it? And everybody from Egypt had got off the bus. And nobody was going across to Israel with us from Egypt. About halfway or two-thirds across that bridge, that spirit lifted. That heavy, horrible spirit lifted. And y'all, I'm going to tell you, I've been there. I know why I'm telling you. When you drove up into the land of Israel, you could feel the Spirit of God. It was a precious, light, wonderful feeling just to be in the land of Israel. They are targeted. The Muslims are and Palestinians, they are targeted. It is a dangerous place. But I'm telling you, you can feel the Spirit of God in the air. Oh, the Word of God says in the book of Romans, when the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled, there will be nobody else saved. Oh, I'd hate to wait and say I'm going to do it when I want to do it. No, you're not. No, you'll do it when the Lord's dealing with you, or you'll never do it. Amen, Sister Shirley. You better get in with everything you got and serve the Lord the rest of your life, because America's days are numbered. My friend, we are having a revolution right now, in a sense, and it's not going to get better without God's mercy and grace. There are people that are angry. They are angry all over the place. They are devil-possessed. Y'all hear me? People don't even think straight. They are devil-possessed. And one preacher said years ago, and that took my breath too. He said, before the Lord comes, everybody's either going to be full of God or full of the devil. And I'm telling you, we're seeing that right now happening in front of our eyes. You better get full of God, my friend, because you don't have any protection against being full of the devil. Amen. God help. If we are filled with iniquity, we are twisted. We're twisted. Dear me. Years ago, we were in revival in Newport, Kentucky. And did you ever go to Charity Tabernacle in Newport? Yeah, lots of times. You was born there. We were in a revival there. You had to go up a flight of steps to get to the church. Two flights, wasn't it? Up to get to the church. Everything in Newport, Kentucky is built on hills, on little mountains. And we had to drive right past a bar. I know I've told you all this, but just pretend like I hadn't. We had to drive right past a bar. And one night we got out of church about 10 o'clock and we passed by that bar. I'm telling you, there was cars all over that place. You know, parked across and parked just every which way. And I said, stop! And my husband has lots better sense than I do. And he said, Shirley, by now they're drunk. This is not a good time to stop. He said, if you feel this way tomorrow night, I'll take you down there before church. I said, you promise? He said, yeah. He hoped I wouldn't feel the same way, but I did. They were parked all over the place around that bar. Oh, those are wicked, evil, dark, devilish. Amen. And we got there, and Freddie took a handful of tracks, and I walked up the steps and got to the door of that bar. It was a pretty good sized place. They had more than one room there, and there's all kinds of things going on. Anyway, I went to open the door, and somebody shoved it open before I could get the handle of the door. They needed air in there, folks, just a billow of smoke, you know. And so they opened the door to get a little air, and I didn't do it on purpose, but I had a solid white dress on that night, and I do believe some of them thought they were seeing an angel or a ghost. I stepped in the door and I looked over. Now listen, they have so much fun at those places. Way down at the end of the bar, one man had another man in a headlock. They really enjoy life. And they were playing pool back in this other deal. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And there was a woman bartender. And I said, "Do you mind if I say something to the people here?" And she said, "No. No, go ahead." So I stepped in the door and I started talking to them about their soul. Now I said, "Y'all, we're in a revival right down the road, a block or so away." Wasn't it about a block? I said, "We're right down here. Do you know a block down here? You can go to heaven from there, but you'll go to hell from here. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord." I talked to them a little bit. It didn't stay long. Talked to them a little bit. I mean to tell you, they started saying, "Shh, shh." I mean, they started hushing everybody all over that place, and it was deathly quiet in a little bit. And I talked to them. And I got through and I walked down those steps. Freddie had been putting tracks on cars, and I got to the bottom step and took two or three steps away, and somebody said, "Hey!" And I looked back, and here was this man leaning over that rail. He didn't have a tooth in his head. I don't know whether he was young or old, because listen, folks, sin ages you. Amen. And he said, "Hey," he said, "you remind me of my mama." And I talked to him. "You remind me of my mama." How many people are going to be in hell hollering, "Mama, God have mercy. God have mercy. Lord help us." If for nobody but that one little man, God sent me. That's not the only bar I've been to. But listen, I've just went to tell them there's a better way. There's a better way. Amen. You're twisted. You are twisted. And listen, if you die in that twisted state, you're going to be twisted through all eternity. Oh, God, help us right now. Iniquity literally means that which is twisted and bent. And he said, "Lord, my sin is ever before me." And that word in the Hebrew means, "I have missed the mark. I've missed it." If you're in sin tonight, you're living in rebellion. Amen. I have people say, "Let me tell you something. I'm going to do what I feel like I need to do. Somebody said just in this meeting said, "I'm not convicted." You don't have to be. This is the rule book. This is what it's going to take. You can't make it any other way. You can't make it any other way. This is the rule book. Thank you, Lord. My mama was a backslider. Come here with me. She was a backslider. She lived for the Lord when we were, all five of us children were little. She took us to church. Daddy went partying. They married when they were 18 years old, they were both raised in the Holiness Church. And my daddy wanted to party. And he had five children, and my mama spent lots of hard days and nights. But after a while, she thought, "You know what? If you can't beat them, just join them." And she threw her hands up and gave up. I cannot tell you the heartache my family had after that. Terrible heartache. Terrible heartache. And out of 5 children, I am the only holiness. All of them got saved after I did, all of them. None of them chooses the way that they know, used to know. Now they don't. You know what? You can choose your own way. And after a while, it's right to you. But the ways are the ways of death. Amen. And you know what I did? I served the Lord. When my mama said, "You're not about to dress holiness. No, I want my girls to be popular at school. You're not about to dress holiness." She wouldn't let me. And one woman at our church said, "I feel like I ought to make you a dress, Shirley." Y'all remember me telling you about that? And I said, "Okay." She bought the material and made me a dress. It was bright yellow with, or bright red with bright yellow stripes. And the stripes were vertical. And I was so skinny, my nickname was Toothpick Legs. That's what my grandpa called me. Didn't have many stripes on it. But I tell you, I wore that thing till I wore it out. Wore it to school, I wore it to town, I wore it to church, and then I wore it to church, and I wore it to school, and I wore it to town. Hallelujah. My mama got so sick of red and yellow, she said, "I'm going to make you some dresses." And she did. Praise God. You can make it. You can make it. I did. You can make it. You help her. You can make it. Thank God. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for those who choose to serve the Lord in spite of everything. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you don't turn from your ways, you're going to drop right into hell, and you'll know the minute you get there where you're at. But it'll be too late to change it. Too late to do anything about it. Straight is the gate. Jesus said, "And narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." I'm going to take my place with the Lord's chosen few. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a broad way and a wide gate, and people are going to hell from that religious church, from people that claim to be saved, that are walking like the world, talking like the world, dressing like the world, living like the world. They're going to hell wholesale. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." You can find it tonight. Woo, hallelujah. He is here right now. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the only door."
Hallelujah.
Straight me gate, and you had to walk the narrow way, but it leads to life. Praise God. It leads to life. I'm going to go by the grace of God. I'm going to go. Do you want to go? Anybody want to go with us? Anybody here want to go? Do you want to go? Oh, thank God. Praise God. I'm telling you, folks, we can make it. We can go. I told you, we just closed a revival in Joplin, and over 20 sinners prayed for salvation. Praise God. Some of them that came to the altar didn't even know how to pray. Woo! But you talk about the Lord doing something in their lives. Oh, thank God. And now people who know the truth don't want it. God, forgive us. God, forgive us. Rebellion. David said, "God, the trouble with me is a deep root of rebellion. Lord, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." If you'll come to the Lord tonight, he will blot out every sin with his abundant mercy. There is a mercy up there with him for everyone. you're going to get more twisted and more twisted. I don't know whether anybody here has ever heard of Alberto Riviera, but Alberto Riviera was raised by Jesuits, raised to be a priest. Have you ever heard of him?
His mother,
they were Spanish people, devout Catholic. His mother was so devout Catholic, she never missed a Mass. She prayed on her beads every day. She did everything good Catholics do. And she took her boy, a nice looking little boy, and took him to the priest and gave him to become a priest. And so he was there a year or two, and then his aunts, very wealthy people and very, very nice looking, his aunts came. And they were dressed in black, and they were weeping, and they said, "Father, we've come after Riviera, after Alberto. We've come because his mother is dying, 32 years old. His mother is dying, and we want him to see her before she dies." And listen, he had already been taught so strong that the Catholic way, that he fell at that old man's feet and grabbed his feet and said, "Don't make me go, Father, don't make me go, don't make me go." Isn't that sad? The Catholics say, "Give me a child till they're six and they'll never be anything but a Catholic." They teach them. Oh my, well, he made him go. He said, "Son, it's right for you to go." And he walked, so he went with them and he walked in that room, and the priest was beside the bed with the holy water. And he walked up to look at a mother that when he last saw her, she was beautiful. Now she is twisted. Her hands are like this. And she's saying, "Get him away from me! Help me, Alberto! Help me, Alberto! Help me, Alberto! Get him away from me, Alberto! Get him away from me! Oh, help me, help me!" He looked up at that priest and he said, "Can't you do anything?" And he said, "I've done everything I know. I've applied the holy water. I've said whatever they say. I've prayed to the mother, and I've done everything I know." She said, "Help me, help me!" And her body twisted, and her hands twisted. It was grotesque, and she died, saying, "Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me." He didn't know how to help her. Because he didn't know Jesus. Oh God. She's been in hell for years. Because nobody could help her. Oh friend. How is it right now with your soul? How is it? You may think you're doing good. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get ready to die. And we are all getting there. And it may be sooner than we think. And how will it be in your last moments if you have turned away from God and walked into darkness? Oh, I'm closing. I prayed two young women through one time. We did, beautiful blonde-headed young women, Linda and Freddie, I'm blank as I can be about her name. Linda Taylor and Debbie. Beautiful. Debbie was the oldest. Oh, Debbie had a wonderful experience. Somebody called me and we was way away from them, a long ways. Said, "Debbie's going back on God." And I said, "Oh, Freddie, we've got to go. I've got to talk to her." We went after church and got there in the night, and I knocked on the door, got her out of bed. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I fell on my knees. I begged that girl. I begged that girl not to walk away from God. I begged her. I'm going to tell you, she walked away anyway. Because nobody believes anymore that God's going to judge them for walking away. Dear Lord, and I'm going to tell you one thing that happened to that young woman. She hid in a closet in a motel room and said, "Dear God, don't let them find me. Don't let them find me," because she knew what they would do to her. She was involved now with a bad group of people, the mafia. And they nailed young women on the backs of the motel room doors. She said, "Oh God, don't let them find me. Don't let them find me, my Lord." Her life has been horrible. Oh God, help us. Listen, it'll never be me. That's what everybody says. It'll never happen to me. Nothing will ever happen to me. Oh God. Oh God. If you died this moment, would you make it? How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? While everyone in the house stands, saint and sinner, while everyone stands, Hila mo yandali, hila mo koya. Oh, Jesus. Oh.
And surely, it is not as you think away from me.
His plans for you are good and not evil if you come. If you come tonight, His plans are good and not evil. Come on. If you'll take one step, if you'll just take one step, He'll take two. Come on. Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. God is here. He's calling you. Come on. Come on, are you ready? Come on. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Come on and pray. Don't kneel back there. Come on. Come on and pray. Come on. Come on, prepare to meet thy God.
Meet thy God.
Come on, prepare. Come on.
Careless soul.
Come on.